Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Happy Thursday. And guess what? We are here. We are on the show from Jump. And that is so exciting because if you called in on Tuesday, that was not the case. So anyway, this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, as well as a vehicle to drive your goals, like what, Kalen?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream, sister.
Check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now let's talk. I am Desiree Fletcher, and he is Kalen Patterson. And we are P4P Real Talk. Yes, you are.
And
how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well.
It's so happy to have a show that starts with no glitches. Yay.
And, you know, it's just par for the course because I think it was the show before that I said 2017 was going to be our year. We weren't going to have the technical issues we had in 2016. And look what happened. Murphy's Law. Karma came back to get me.
One of our listeners sent one of the nicest messages, and they said if they don't understand you guys' passion, then they really don't understand what you had to go through with Tuesday's show, which is true because no matter what, that show was supposed to happen, and it became no matter what because it took all of that and then some for that show to come off, and it was just so many inner workings to get that thing going. It was like an old lawnmower that just wouldn't start, but you needed the lawn cut, so it had to be done.
Yeah, you had to keep priming it, and finally it went. So that was good, and Leaf was a great sport to hang in there with us, and, you know, he was on cue to get dialed in after much, I don't even know what, trial and error, I guess. But it happened, so that's good. Praise the Lord.
There is no word for what happened to
him. Oh, my goodness. So while we were trying to bring Leaf on the show on Tuesday, we had started talking about a topic that had kind of caught me off guard, and I was even a day or two behind, and you had alluded to it, and it all had to do with Lady Gaga in her quote-unquote flabby belly. And
yes.
I was just, you know, we've talked about body shaming before on the show, and we're going to have Ladies Room coming up in a couple of weeks, and we may touch on it again because there are a plethora of other issues or topics, I won't call them issues, topics that the female bodybuilding world wants to delve into. But it just really bowled me over the response that she got. And it's not so much, you know what, if you don't like what she's wearing, cool, no harm, no foul. If you don't like what she's saying, again, the same thing. But to come out and blast her with so much negativity after the performance that she put on with all of the physical effort that went into it, in addition to the singing at the same time, because she had some skin that overlapped the shorts she was wearing. And I really had a problem with that. And especially from the men. I mean, and not to be sexist about it, because I'm sure there's women out there that were agreeing, but come on, fellas, really? I mean, saying things like Lady Gaga needs to do some crunches if she wants to show her flabby belly. Really? Tried to enjoy Lady Gaga's performance, was distracted by the flab on her stomach swinging around. Really? I mean, come on. But yeah, I mean, Kalen, I mean, you're pretty sensitive to these types of things too. What was your take on all of this?
Well, I'd like to basically answer that with a memory and a recollection for a lot of wrestling fans. And if they can go back to when Owen Hart was still with the WWF before it became the WWE, he was one of the Hart Foundation, Bret Hart's brother. And he tried one of those suspended wire string things, and the harness wasn't right, the strapping wasn't right, and basically he fell to his death. because the rigging wasn't right. And he died on live TV. And so everybody was just heartbroken, and no pun intended, because we're talking about a man's life. And everyone after that was either saying this would never happen again, meaning no more suspension or dangling, or the rigging and the harness had to be much better than what they did for that show. And basically, if anyone knows anything about harnesses and rigging, the person not only has to be strapped in correctly, but if she's going to be performing or he's going to be performing, whoever, it has to be functional, but it also has to be forming. So basically what looks like a diaper to anybody that's watching that doesn't understand the breakdown of what had to happen to make those things look invisible and how it had to be strapped on and harnessed, for anybody that knows how it has to be set up with the safety guidelines now in place, there's going to be a really tight fit, you know, almost to the point of having to hold your lower abdomen, like almost like holding your breath because you're basically being strangled right under your abdomen. So when you talk about, you know, how she's appearing, no one really took the time to think, I mean, actually open up their mind to understand exactly what she did. And I'm sitting there saying, you know, it's absolutely amazing how she was able to perform basically with half her lung capacity, because everything underneath her abdomen is being squeezed so tight that she really can't take a deep breath. So kudos to her, and shame on anyone who decided that, you know, these things are going to be what goes against her performance. And since this is real talk, let's make it real talk. It was shameful for so many husbands to have wives or girlfriends, I mean, I'm sorry, wives that compete, to say you can't talk about how my wife looks, and then they turn around and say this about a woman. I said, you're being so hypocritical, it's just embarrassing. And add to the fact that because she had spoken against her president, or the president, I should say, that most people would say, okay, then she's no good, she's dirt dog dirty, and we just can't like her or find her appealing. I just find that so childish that it's almost embarrassing when you think about how bad it was getting, and, you know, how much worse it was going to get if people hadn't basically said, you know, shame on people that are trying to shame her. Because that's what it came down to. She didn't have to defend herself because so many had come to her defense.
And it's, I mean, I don't see how people could do anything other than that. I mean, in my opinion. And I'm glad you brought up her shorts. Again, if you have issue with that they were booty shorts, whatever, you know, I can deal with that. But the fact that they did have to be of a certain material with a certain, you know, elasticity or the lack of it in order for her to do the stunt that she did in entering the stage, it is what it is. And to look at the photo, first of all, she's kind of a little bit hunched over. She's leaned, not a hunch, but she's leaning forward. Skin is pliable. It is going to do what it's going to do regardless of how lean that you are. And the photo is not that, it's not unattractive as far as I'm concerned. She does not look unfit. She looks healthy, really.
Yes.
She looks what I would call an ideal healthy body. And this is someone who spends a lot of time picking apart what her look is going to be like, because she's getting ready to get on stage much leaner than any woman would ever need to be in a day-to-day basis. She looked like
exactly.
She had a healthy physique. And I didn't see anything wrong with it. And for her to have such a backlash because of a little bit of skin, just it really makes me sad, because statistically speaking, when you break it down and you break it down to how women, and we're going to talk about women here, but how women feel about their bodies, they don't start having a negative feeling or impression of their bodies when they're grown. It happens much younger than that. In fact, it happens when they're when they're children. I read a study somewhere, and I wish I would have had time to look it up, but I will check it out. And I believe the statistic was that 1 in 4 7-year-old girls feel negatively about their bodies or have tried to lose weight. That's what it was. 1 in 4 7-year-old girls have tried to lose weight. That's a 7-year-old girl. I have an 8-year-old daughter. To me, that is an absolutely ridiculous notion, but it's because of situations like this with Gaga, and I think this is why it bothered me so much, because there is a whole generation of young girls, little girls, young women out there who see a woman who is fit, and she's getting bashed for looking fit. There's something very wrong with that. And I believe there was another study that I saw. It was done in the UK, so these aren't U.S. numbers, but it was basically saying that the number of young people between the ages, I want to say like 7 to 18, has tripled the number of young people that are being treated in hospitals for issues like bulimia and anorexia and those sorts of health problems has tripled in the last, oh my gosh, I need to find this. I had it pulled up and now I don't have it. Sorry, guys. But in less than 10 years, really, let's get down to it. I will find it and share that with you. But those numbers are just staggering.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Well, mind blowing. Okay. Kaylin, go ahead.
Linda wants to know how to basically sit and speak with your children to make sure that the next generation doesn't piggyback this and make it worse.
You know, I can't speak for all families about this, but I will speak to what I have witnessed in mine. So, like I said, I have an 8-year-old daughter. I also have an 8-year-old niece. They are roughly 6 weeks apart. And my daughter wears a size 10. My niece is in a size 12. So you can just hear what the disparity is in their size and their physiques and their weight. It's different, but they're genetically different kids. But it's not so much in what you say to your kids. So that doesn't continue on, but how you model to your kids. And so even though my niece is heavier, we don't make an issue of it to the point where she feels like there is something wrong with her. But what we continue to do is talk about good eating habits, about being active and participating in sports. And for her, that's an easy thing because she happens to like that. About, eating when you're actually hungry and not just when you're bored, and knowing what a good portion size is or when to stop, and, you know, making good food choices. Beyond that, you know, you work with your kids on wearing clothes that look good for their body shape and their body size, and, you know, presenting themselves well in general, and just foster good habits with them to promote having a good self-esteem.
Yeah.
And just let them know, you know, bullying or making fun of anybody for any reason is never okay. And that's a conversation that, you know, can be had around any topic, and especially something like this. It was adult bullying is what it was. If you want to really break it down into something.
That's all it was. And, you know,
yeah.
I'm going to pick on Mark because I think he's speaking in a way where most people are trying to come from, but it's from a stance of ignorance. And Mark, I'm not calling you stupid. There's a difference between ignorant and stupid. And ignorant is just not knowing what's really being said. And he's referring to the T-ball, everybody gets a trophy kind of stance where, you know, you got to be able to speak your mind and speak whatever. And I get that. I really do. But from this point of basically trying to put people on public notice to shame them into silence is nothing remotely close to a T-ball, everybody gets a trophy kind of deal. You're talking about where everyone is participating and one person has to win. I understand that. Everyone understands that. But if you're saying because this person's playing and everybody's got a uniform and because my uniform's a little bit different, you have every right to ridicule me until I no longer want to play the game, that's where the ignorance comes in. And I'm like I said, I'm not picking on you as an individual. I'm really addressing the statement you've given because these are your words, and I'm showing the fault in them. So please, everyone listening, I really want you to understand these things cannot go on in a civilized society. We really have to show our responsibility. We really have to show our adult nature. We can't keep acting like children and saying, you know, I'm going to basically throw a fit and tantrum, but no one basically can respond or discipline, because that's what it comes down to. If you're out of line, you're going to be disciplined. I mean, you learn that from childhood. If you mess up, you get disciplined, you get put back in line, so you can understand that this is how a normal society functions and interacts with each other.
And I totally understand. I hear what he's saying. I hear those statements all the time, and then they're usually followed up with, well, if she doesn't want people talking about her or he doesn't want people talking about him, yada, yada, then she shouldn't be out there like that. Or they shouldn't post pictures like that, or they shouldn't put themselves in the public eye like that. Well, you know, it's kind of like you can't have your cake and eat it too. We want to be entertained. We want to play sports. We want to watch people play sports. We want to watch entertainers. We want those things. So when they get out there and do the things that we want, it's not just free license then to tear them apart if they're not your favorite or what have you, because they're giving us what we want. They're the Super Bowl halftime show because people want to be entertained. It draws viewers. It's smart marketing, you know, because that's what people want to see. But Kaylin's right. It doesn't give license to say anything that comes to the top of your mind just because you can. Yes, we all have freedom of speech, but it doesn't mean that we should always exercise it. And I feel, and I can't speak for Kaylin, although I think you would agree, but I feel very strongly about people who, you know, take the same approach to bodybuilders, whether they be male or female, because there are people out there, there are men who hate on men because of the way that they look. And there are women that hate on men because of the way that they look, especially in the bodybuilding arena. And it goes the other way, especially for women, even more so, even more ferociously. And that just bowls me over too. But, you know, a lot of that is cultural and I get it. But I just, you know, in my opinion, it is just not, it's just not okay. It does too much damage for everyone else who's watching, not so much to the person that it's happening to. Yes, it hurts them. Most of them are going to get over it, but it's everybody else that's listening and everybody else that's watching that thinks that it's okay. And, or, well, I could never do that. I never should do that because I don't want people talking about me that way.
Yeah. But, you know, like you said, there has to be a line between civil and uncivil. And you're crossing it when you decide to attack a person for something other. Like, okay, I'll never forget the Olympics where Carl Lewis, not the Olympics, but it was a sports event where Carl Lewis was able to sing the national anthem. They gave him the opportunity, and this man can't sing. And it was really bad. And people said, you know, wow, that's got to be horrible. And, you know, they were basically saying if he's in a situation where he's uncomfortable, then maybe he shouldn't have done it. And, you know, it was all the talk all over the place, what was going on. But if you watch the Super Bowl, this woman was singing live, and there have been many in the past that have lip-synced their way to stardom at the Super Bowl halftime show, and she did not. Everything she did was live and real. So, you know, that's two different arenas. So, you know, guys, I'm telling you, whatever you put my way, you're not trying to explain something that makes sense. So it's never going to be right, okay? I get where you're coming from with, you know, you don't really care for her, and this is your chance to blast her. I understand that. That's the truth of the situation. The reality of basically when people start attacking fellow human beings in such a negative way is because you want them to hurt. Let's be real about this. We are not going to get off topic with trying to bring in all these other instances or situations. The topic is you don't really care for this person, so you're going to destroy them with everyone else's basically approval. But everyone is not giving you approval. Only the people that really don't like her in the way you do. So please, this like she said, this happens in stage, this happens in sports, this happens in whatever. But attacking a person to basically cause them mental trauma or hurt is never going to be fair, right, or appropriate.
No. And so, and I know people are out there thinking, well, you know, you guys are just upset because this whole body shaming thing has swung to the fit side of things, and, you know, you're feeling a personal attack. And it's not that. Although I have had people comment on my physique and you know, I've experienced that. But it's not that. It, you know, this whole fat shaming trend, I don't agree with that either. But I think there is a difference between what individuals were saying about Gaga, and this is the example we started with, so this is what I'm rolling with, and having to have a very frank conversation with someone who is so critically overweight, or maybe not even, you know, I won't even say obese, but overweight. They need to lose weight for health purposes. They're on the verge of being diabetic, you know. They have a family history of heart disease or liver disease or whatever it may be that can be or is being impacted by their weight. That's different because it has to do with their health. It has to do with their life. Those frank conversations need to happen. Can you be rude about it and be effective in a conversation like that? No. You have to take the right approach. But you can't reach out to someone in compassion and love because it's in their best interest to be healthier and call that fat shaming or body shaming. I have never agreed with that. And that's where a lot of that started to go. Individuals who are overweight, if someone wanted to have a conversation with them about their health, all of a sudden it was body shaming and they were offended. Okay. I get it. It's a very sensitive area, especially if you are overweight. You know, you might not want to deal with that reality. But if someone cares enough to try to talk to you about it and they're coming to you from a stance of love, that's not body shaming. It's just not.
Yeah.
And I think that's very different from what we're talking about tonight.
Yes. Well, if what you're saying, not if, what you're saying is on a one-on-one or family intervention type deal. You're not taking a person's picture, posting it on
No.
the social media, and saying, look at this, this is awful, and this is why, and don't you all agree? And post anything you want, because I'm basically trying to ruin this person's image mentally and physically. So when you take that route, you're no longer acting like a civil human being. And, you know, if we're going to address it correctly, it has to be said correctly. There is no right in this. I'm sorry, guys. I get your messages. I'm reading them as they're coming in, and you cannot justify it. I am really sorry for this one. Actually, I'm not really sorry. I'm sorry you feel so driven to try and drive a bad point home, because I would rather you drive that bad point to your home and keep it there, and hopefully your children don't have to hear it, because this is never going to be acceptable. And, you know, I for the ones that are saying, you know, they agree, okay, and Andrea, thank you for this one. She said it's like the performers can't win no matter what they do or how they do it or where they perform. And it's the same thing in any kind of public arena. And I get if you pay $1 million baseball player a fortune and he strikes out. Yes, you're going to be mad and you can say some things, but you can't take that person's life away from the sport and say, I have a right to include this to make them feel bad. We really have to start looking at ourselves as a nation and what's really driving us to say the things we're saying. Not that they're being said, because there's always going to be some idiot in the room, but the fact that people would basically jump on and share it is what really causes me concern, because I've learned in a family of 30, there's going to be one that stands out in the wrong way. Whether it's intended or not, this is how they found a way to get attention, and they took it. Is it right? No. Is it acceptable? No. It should never be. But it does happen. That's society. When people start sharing it and joining in is when I get nervous, because I would be so afraid if someone were to run in and rob a bank, and basically everybody jump behind the tellers and join in and steal the money and run out because they're not going to catch all of us. That's just insane. And for us to be doing the same thing on a mental note is just as bad, whether we want to see it that way or not. This is civilized society we're trying to hold on to. And yet it seems some, you know, because this is how they get attention, will do anything to degrade it just to be better accepted. And I'm saying we cannot accept this. We can never accept this.
Yes, I'm with you. So, and you know, I really, you phrased that very well, and I really don't have much more to add to that. I don't think there's any much more to say without saying the same thing over and over and over again. Other than, you know, I thought Gaga had a good response back to everything that was swirling around about her. And she basically said that she was proud of her body, which, again, you could see there's still evidence she had been working on her body. She did not have the look that she had by accident. This is not someone just sitting on the couch and eating potato chips. It's clear.
Right.
And she said, I heard my body is a topic of conversation, so I wanted to say I'm proud of my body and you should be proud of yours too. No matter who you are or what you do, I could give you a million reasons why you don't need to cater to anyone or anything to succeed. Be you and be relentlessly you. That's the stuff of champions. Thank you so much, everyone, for supporting me. I love you guys. So there you have it. There you have it. End of story. Those are my thoughts. And... you know, I just wanted to share those because it really is the younger generation that I fear for. I mean, Kaylin has touched on it from more of a cultural, adult, mob mentality type perspective, but it's really, really the young ones. And we have a question here from Sylvia. She says she has a 12-year-old who is spending more time in the mirror. How could she let her know not to be so critical? You know, that's a really good question, because it happens. My 8-year-old does it. My soon-to-be 15-year-old does it. And, you know, my older daughter is more critical of herself than my younger. She likes to say that she looks like a potato, which I'm not really sure what exactly that means. But it's not a positive. But, you know, as her mother... you know, I just always try to reinforce that, you know, Darian, you can't worry so much about how it is that you look. It's important how you take care of yourself and present yourself in a good way. But, you know, how you look is subjective. And there are going to be people that think you are absolutely beautiful, the most beautiful woman on the face of the earth. And then there's going to be others that don't see anything special about the way that you look. And you have to take it in stride. If you feel good about who you are, then that's what's important. And I don't ever say that to my girls to be something that puffs up their egos or to make them feel like they're better than anyone else, because I make that point that, you know, I think you're beautiful. That doesn't make you better than anyone else, but that's how I see you and that's how you should see yourself. And those are the things that I just try to reinforce and, you know, constantly work with them on, you know, the other things that matter in the day-to-day world, how they do academically, how they treat other people, how they think, how they perceive the world, and, you know, just really work with them on making sure that their thoughts are focused on things other than, you know, what they're wearing or what they look like. It's going to happen. We all do it. And you should care what you look like to a certain extent, but it shouldn't dominate your every single thought. So I wouldn't worry so much about your kids looking at themselves in the mirror, as long as it's balanced with all the other qualities that they have that make them stellar people. And that's what you have to work on. And even though you might think these things about your kids, you have to tell them that, and you have to reinforce, because that's how they internalize. Even if you think they know that you think these things about them, they don't. They probably have an idea of it. And even if they do know, they want to hear it. That's reassuring to them. So just some of the things that I practice on being a parent. And you'll see here, James is a single parent. He has two wonderful girls, and he wants to know how to engage with his children in a successful manner. Gosh, Kayla, you're kind of out of this one, not having any kids. James, I can only speak to you from my personal experience, and one thing for sure is an area that I struggle with, because my mind is always racing and it seems like I excel at being busy, is to be very present and in the moment. When your children want to talk to you, stop and listen. Pay attention. Regardless of what you've got going on, engage with them, have a conversation, let them know that they have your attention, and take an interest. You know, they're kids, especially teens. They may not always want to feel like talking to you, but ask them questions and wait to hear the answer and pay attention to the answer. How was your day? What do you think about this? How did that make you feel? Did you see this? I heard this on the news today. Did you hear that? Just be intentional with your time with them. You know, we're all busy. We have to work and we have a household to keep and we have to make sure that kids get here and there and the next thing and things that we have to do. So the little bit of time that you do have with your kids, just try to be intentional and look for areas of common interest, even the smallest ones, even if you and your kids are like night and day. You know, there's at least one thing among you that you have in common, and try to focus on that or find new things that you guys can enjoy together that maybe you didn't know you had in common. Just my two cents there.
Yeah, and I'm going to piggyback your point with the fact that sadly and unsadly, parents are going to have to deal with many things that happen outside of the home that their children,
yes,
have to hear and deal with when they're not around their parents. And the parent still has to deal with all the fallout that comes from it. And that takes a strong individual and someone who's not prepared for everything but prepared for anything. And it is stressful. It is hard to deal with sometimes, you know, like Des was saying, with being so busy and so active. It takes an awful lot to happen, but it does have to happen where the parent is going to be sidelined, you know, backdoored, undercut with the child hearing something outside of the home and thinking, well, if everyone's saying it, why can't I? Or if everyone's mm-hmm. doing it, why can't I? And that's a tough spot to be in because it takes a very mature person to say, I'll be the bad guy in this situation if it prepares a better child to be an adult. Because that's what is happening when you're confronted with some really bad situations that seem to be quote unquote popular. It doesn't make it right. And this female shaming, there's a lot of bandwagon jumpers that said, you know, I really have a grievance against women, and this is my time to shine in it because everyone else is joining the insane party. We can't conform to that. I mean, it seems like everyone's saying, well, since so many aren't speaking out against it, then it must be okay. And that's a childlike thinking because that's why children are asking these questions to their parents. Why can't I do this if everyone else is doing it? And it just stems right back to the source of the problem, which is adults not being responsible or mature. And that's the problem in the nutshell. And we need to take a stand against it. And no, you won't be liked by a lot of people, especially if they're the ones that were already speaking out as bandwagon jumpers. You know, as I said, who's the worst criminal? The one that does the crime or the one that watches it happen? Because the one that does the crime has the intent to be a criminal. The one that says nothing basically has an intent not to be involved. Who is the bigger criminal? And this is something we have to ask in our minds and answer in our own minds, because this is something that's basically snowballing to the point where society is no longer civil. And I'm going to keep on staying on that point because that's what it comes down to. The adults have to be adults because the children are always going to be kids. And even though they yep. might act mannish or grown, however you want to say it, or getting out their way, however you want to put it, the adults have to be the mature ones in the room. I don't care how frustrating it can get, that's part of maturity. I don't care how mad you get, that's part of responsibility. We can't step away from who we are and who we were raised to be. And I'm going to tell you right now, my mom, my dad, my pastors, the pastor's wife, all of them raised me better than to just sit idly by and let this silliness, this childishness, and this ignorance just roam freely. It ain't going to happen, not with me.
And, you know, it's always so hard to chime in after Kalen sometimes because he just says everything so well, like, well, what is there left to say? I got nothing. But I will say this in for anyone who's wondering in for Sylvia and James, I did talk about this issue with my girls, and we looked at the pictures. And we looked at the comments, and I shared with them what I thought about the way that she looked and my perspective of what a healthy body is. And, you know, that what these people were saying wasn't fair, but also how they should react if they're faced with these kinds of situations in their own lives. And I asked them, you know, what do you think? What do you think about what they were saying and, you know, this and that and the next thing? And, you know, they had different responses. Some of them related to what she was wearing. Some of them related to how she looked. Some of them related to, you know, what was being said about it and how it was being handled. And then also we looked at how Lady Gaga responded to it. So, you know, again, it's just having those conversations and not being afraid to call it out if you think it's something that's, you know, important or impactful to your kids, because they'd already heard about it. There's maybe not my younger one, but my older ones already had. I mean, there's so much that goes on in these schools and with technology. If you think your kids don't know, you're fooling yourself. Whatever it is you think they don't know, they've got some kind of, or they've heard it. They might not understand what the word means, but they've already heard it. They already know. They've already seen it. So you just might as well assume that they have some sort of awareness and ask the question to figure out just how much. Let's see. Alex wants to know, when is it right to step in on something like this? Step in. I'm not sure if you're meaning, Alex, step in with your kids, or you just see something going on around you and, you know, when do you jump in? When you feel like something is wrong, that's when you step in. And it doesn't have to be a big, broad announcement. You don't have to get to Facebook and, you know, go out there and share your thoughts. It could be in a one-on-one conversation. It could happen in the break room at work. It could be in your living room. It could be on the bus, wherever it is. But if you feel like an injustice is being done and you see that injustice happening, you know, whatever your comfort level is, then do that. And I know that's kind of a dangerous comment because who knows what that could mean. But, you know, if it means if someone, well, do you really think that's fair? You know, and broadening the conversation that way or whatever it is. But you don't have to accept what someone says just as long as you're respectful about it and, you know, try to hear what it is that they're saying. But, you know, any time that you feel an injustice is being done is the right time to step in.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, I haven't you took the words right out of my mouth. I'm thinking there's never a good time to let bad times go past you. If there's something you can do to intercede to help, it makes a difference in someone's life. And, you know, just remember that old slogan, an injustice done anywhere is an injustice done everywhere. And until we start looking at it, and honestly, until we start putting ourselves in someone else's shoes, then I think we just don't get it when it comes to actually understanding humanity. There's plenty of things I would want to say. I'll give a good example of, and I can use me because, you know, it's not hearsay and it's not gossip because this is me talking about me. And this is kind of an embarrassing thing, but this is when I was just starting to compete. And like Dad says, we get hypercritical on every little nook and cranny of our bodies, and we have to know everything that's going on, and it has to be addressed right now, and it has to be fixed tomorrow, and we got to get it straightened out because, you know, oh, we only got so many weeks before we're going to be ready to step on stage. And these are the things that basically start taking over our minds. And I just remember talking to a fellow competitor. He had his fall shows, but I was starting in the spring, and I was going to be basically finishing up in the fall. And I was talking about how, you know, I'd put on some of that pudge and fluff, and I was starting to look fat. And just totally indifferent to all my surroundings, hadn't paid attention to who was in the room, who wasn't. And there was this guy that was looking at me and then looking at himself. And I said, oh, boy, I couldn't have picked a worse time to make that statement. And, you know, I said, you know, from now on, I'll be more mindful of how I speak and who's around when I speak in that fashion. Because a competitor would understand what I'm saying. But a person that doesn't compete and is basically trying to get down to that size for the first time ever in their life as an adult, they don't understand it. And it is embarrassing for them, and it does, it can be harm. And I know that's not in direct comparison to what we're talking about, but I'm saying if we can basically start looking at the world through someone else's eyes or putting ourselves in their shoes, then we can see a lot better instead of that tunnel vision that we sometimes get trapped in. Because I said there's nothing more hypocritical than a husband defending his wife for people talking about her when she's getting ready to compete and how manly she looks. But then you turn around because someone you don't like, you feel you have all freedom to say what you want. I said, then you basically expose your wife in a way that you're not intending because everyone else is saying, well, look at how you spoke about Lady Gaga or whatever woman that you don't happen to care for at the time or a man. it doesn't really matter. You open that door, and that's Pandora's box when you do it, and you basically exempt everything. Everything. You can't say anything against that because you basically open the door to make sure it happens. And we can't keep saying, you know, well, this time it's different, because the only difference is it affects you personally. It should always affect you personally. People should mean that much. I mean, it just tickled me when I hear people say, you know, this person matters or that person matters or all lives matter. And then we turn around as a nation and we speak in ways such as this. Is that really true if we're doing it from that base and foundation? Well, I ask you, Des, is that true?
Well, it would appear that it is not. But,
glasses, and a nice chair and a recliner, and you're basically dealing doing therapy on a patient. That's when you said that. That's exactly what I had in mind.
Is that what it came across as? I was just thinking, you know, but there's just so many things that have been going on with us as a nation and on an individual basis, and you know, across social media, everywhere, that are basically either uncharacteristic or I don't know, battling perceptions. We feel like we're doing one thing, but our actions are demonstrating that we're doing an absolute other. And that's just been kind of what's going on now it's been going on forever, but going on in an amplified manner over, you know, the last couple of years at least. It feels like it's been unending, just an unending barrage of bad behavior. And I don't see that it is going to end. But, you know, I feel like the point has been made, and I really don't have any more to say about it. I don't.
Well, I would piggyback what you said, and then we can basically end. But there is a complete and total disconnect of what people say and the next day what they do. Because it's almost like they're saying, what I do on social media is acting, but what I do in real life is different because it's not on social media. And I find that very strange. And I can remember in 2010 or 2011, when the first time I heard it, where the people on Facebook aren't real. And I was thinking, wow, is that what you need to say and do with yourself to truly believe that what you say isn't harmful? And just to understand there's people out there that think that way, and I'm not speaking the whole of society, because you can never speak as a whole. Everyone thinks this way. That's incredibly, I won't use that word. But I would say it would be from an ignorant point of view to try and make that work. And it seems that's the way a lot of people would define someone they disagree with. Well, all are in this same fashion, or all think this same way. But that's not the truth, and it's far from the truth. And to say that it's okay to shame a strange woman, but nobody better shame someone you know, that doesn't work. It never works. And we really need to understand you cannot disconnect those two arenas, because they are the same arena. Because someone you're talking about is related to someone that knows someone else, just like the person that's being talked about that you know is related to someone being you. And we really need to start making that association if we are truly going to be a civilized nation.
Amen to that. Whew. I didn't think we would have a discussion carry on this long, but we are nearing the end of the show, believe it or not.
I knew we would. because this is a
believe
hot
it or
topic.
Not.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Sam Uh-oh. Wants to know, are we this driven outside of the show? And I will say for me, yes, even more so, because what I say on the show is respectful. What I say to people I know can be more blunt, you know, not never rude, never vulgar, but more to the point, because when I'm answering a question from someone that I know through social media, they have a perception of me that I might not be fully aware of. So I will speak in general terms, not more in a personal term. I will answer the question personally, but not in the way that I would speak to someone like Dez or Andrea or Ed or somebody like that, the people that know me. So I'll just leave that there and pass it to Dez.
I would say yes. I mean, for those of you who have interacted with me, much of it is just on social media. And on social media, I am a very light person. Very rarely do I talk about anything, I would say, controversial or in a very negative manner, unless I have a really strong opinion on it, such as this topic tonight or fast food restaurants. I don't tend to like them very much. But so you might see me carry on about those sorts of things. But, you know, on social media, you might not get the impression that I am as passionate about several things as I am health related. But one-on-one, I mean, that story is definitely there. And, you know, I'm very opinionated, probably to a fault. But that's just who I am, and I do tend to share that if I get the chance. You know, I do work on not just spouting off. I wait to be asked first, for the most part. It doesn't always work out that way, but I try. But yes, you know, we're not here to carry on a show. Whatever you get on Real Talk is pretty much Real Talk, and it's pretty much who Kaylin and I are for the, you know, good, bad, pretty, ugly, whatever you might think it is. It is what it is. It is who we are. So that's what you get.
Yeah. Yeah. And the one thing I would not want to leave out, and since we always give shout outs, I definitely got to put this one. I am very open about my faith and my belief. So it's going to come up at some point or time in our conversation. That's just the nature of the beast. You know, I don't expect anyone in a family not to speak about their family members. I would almost be ashamed if they didn't, that they were hiding something. And I don't ever want the listeners to think I'm hiding that from you. You can speak your mind. It will not bother me. All I ask is that you don't impose your will on mine, and I won't try to impose my will on you. So there's that. That's Real Talk.
That's Real Talk. Even so much so that we continue on our battle between snickerdoodle and chocolate, because that's Real Talk too.
There's no battle. We already know who's not.
Oh, stop.
One more, Freya. And she says, there is a difference between talking about an object than a personal trait. And that's true. You know, if someone has something that's going on in their lives, It does need to be addressed. But if you know, the shaming part, and especially when you put it on the market, I guess would be the best way to say it. Because if there's something you grow in your own garden and that's something you grow, that's fine. But when you put it out on the market, that means that everybody has a chance to see it. And I think that's where I have the biggest issue with the personal female shaming. Because you basically open up a discussion that really needs not to be opened up. Because that's something you can do, basically sending a message to Lady Gaga or anybody in her employ to get that statement out. This is not something you should be putting out from everybody, and then basically that person finds out in the last page of the book. That's just, it, to me, it's cowardly. I don't know what else to say to let you understand. I just don't agree with it, because there's nothing good that comes from it.
And there you go. So, next week.
Snickerdoodle.
Another full round of shows. No, chocolate. And maybe we'll have another guest on.
Next
Where we can ask.
Yeah.
We can ask what their favorite is.
Oh, I already know.
No, you don't
know. I already know.
You don't know because the last two out of three guests, it was ice cream sandwich.
True love is
Snickerdoodle. You don't know. No.
True love is Snickerdoodle. And that has to happen on Valentine's Day.
Oh, my goodness. No. Oh, yes. And Valentine's Day, guys, special treat. If you're not out on a date, I will be on a date with my three children on Valentine's Day. So that's my Valentine's that evening. And Kaylin has been gracious enough to give me the night off. Yep. So he's going to be hanging with P4P Real Talk and a couple of great couples.
Yes.
Did you catch that? Who are going to be talking about, surviving, not only surviving, but surviving and thriving in the bodybuilding arena as a couple. And just in life in general, but particularly in bodybuilding as couples.
I'm sure they want to know who.
So we have, go ahead. This is your show. Key it up.
Well, we have been blessed to have a chance to speak with Ed and Andrea Castillo, and also Josh. Okay, I'm going to, now I got to look. You done jinxed me, and I was so ready to answer that. Ez, how could you? How could you?
Oh, come on. Come on, you got it.
Josh and I'm drawing a blank. A complete blank because Dez put me on the spot. Josh and his wife, Miller.
Okay, we're going to give you a hint. Starts with an M.
Melissa.
Yes, roll with it. You got it.
Josh and Melissa. Now you can't even remember the last name.
Josh and Melissa Miller.
I am blushing so bad. I mean, it's like I can see what it means by hot under the collar. Put myself on the spot, and I blew myself. Okay, now if anybody wants to shame me on this, go right ahead because I screwed it up. I will take the heat for this one.
But yes, Ed and Andrea Castillo and Josh and Melissa Miller.
And
yes. So Valentine's Day, guys, that's going to be the show. And then I will be rejoining Mr. Kalen on Thursday. And we will carry on.
For some military muscle.
For some military muscle. That's right. That's right. And you guys are going to have to listen on Tuesday to see who's coming up on Thursday. But if you really want to know, here's what you need to do. Anybody who has clicked on a link to be able to listen to the podcast while it is live, there is always a pink follow button in the top right-hand corner of those pages. Click that, and you will get an email reminder 15 minutes before each show about who is going to be on that show. So please do that and be in the know and, just one more step to being real on Real Talk. So with that being said, Chocolate Way for the win. On behalf of myself, Kaylin, and the boys at P4P Muscle, your body is a temple. So let's build it.
Thank you, Poodle.